Blog Talk Radio. what's poppin'? It's the kid Scarfella from the Scarfella Music Hoop. And you're now in the mix with Miss P. Got y'all on deck with the hottest radio station on the internet airwaves. Into Radio. Let's get it.
Yeah, babies, what's going on? I mean, really, doesn't that song take you back? No, seriously, doesn't it? So I had to start off the show just like that because, I mean, All Cried Out was like, or still is, my all-time favorite. So if you guys are not in tune and know who our special guest is for the night, Full Force Bowlegged Lou will be on this evening getting us in tune to what he's been doing. So a little bit about Full Force, you know, they originated from Brooklyn, and the Full Force gang has been in the music game for over 27 years. They're singers, they're writers, they're producers and actors. All six of them are family. There's three brothers and there's three cousins. So for all you guys that don't know, we know Paul Anthony, we know Brian B. Fine George, we know Bowlegged Lou himself, George Jr., you know Shy Shy Clark, we know Kurt T.T., and we know Jerry, Baby G, Charles. So it's just amazing that, you know, I'm getting this opportunity because I'm just like as a youth, or I shouldn't even say as a youth, like I'm like 5 years old, but in my early teens, I remember watching House Party, and the thing that stuck out the most to me was when, you know, Bowlegged Lou was playing the little guy, and he was like, we're going to kick their ass, you know. That's always going to stick in my head, always and forever. So, you know, I'm just looking forward to gaining more insight on them. And I'm not going to really say too much because he'll be on shortly. And I know from there he'll just fill us in about all the amazing things that people probably don't even realize that they do in the music industry when they're even in front of the camera or behind the camera. They're somewhere doing something. So I was pretty much shocked when I was doing some research on it myself to see how many people that they really turn the heat up on and have these people that are, you know, successful today with music that they produce and have written. So that's going to be fun learning about all the great people that they helped along the way. So without further ado, another person that they, you know, worked with and we can all resonate with is James Brown. God bless his soul. This one I'm going to play right now is all of the Full Force gang all over it and Mr. James Brown himself. This one is called Static.
Can we get busy?
Can we busy?
Can we do this?
Life moving.
Take off the echo.
Gone.
Give me some static.
You get it.
Hit me.
Yeah.
be no static.
No, don't start none, won't be none.
Yes, that was Static, you know, performed by James Brown and written by Full Force doing their thing. James Brown is just really one less, you know, on the list. By me saying one less, I mean one less in regards to one down on who Full Force actually worked with and written or produced for. I mean, I had no idea that, you know, they were working with Rihanna, they worked with Backstreet Boys, Patti LaBelle, Lisa. Lisa, of course, I knew about. Lisa and Cold Jam, but Curtis Blow, I mean, when that single that Curtis Blow had out, Basketball, I mean, who would have known? Like, I didn't. So, you know, this is one of the reasons why I enjoy, you know, doing what I do, because I get to gain more insight on people that I had no clue about. So this is going to be an awesome experience for me, because, as you know, as a child growing up, you know, Full Force was one of those groups that I would listen to. So when I have these moments to embrace them on the show, you guys have no idea how phenomenal it feels to be able to talk to people that you idolized as a child, or you danced to, or you sung their songs and things of that nature. So it makes me, like, excited, 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 and I try my best to, you know, remain in control when all I really want to do is say, okay, you guys get the point. So anyway, we all know, you know, that Donna Summer passed away, so I just wanted to take a moment of silence while we're waiting for Lou to give us a call to just represent her for the milestones and all the awesome, awesome music that she put out there into the universe for us to enjoy. And while we're waiting for, you know, Bowlegged Lou, I thought we'll just, you know, play one of her tracks. And that one is going to be called She Works Hard for Her Money. And that's one Miss P and all the ladies that are tuned in, okay, can relate to, because we bust our hineys every single day working hard for the money. So our hearts go out to Donna Summer's family. And Donna, we love you, and you will be missed. Yeah, so that was Donna Summers. She works hard for her money, which us as women, we can all relate to. But without further ado, because I know that this is a busy, busy man, let's talk to Bowlegged Lou. Hi, Bowlegged Lou. How you doing tonight?
I'm doing fantastic, sweetheart. How are you doing tonight?
I'm ready to, like, do backflips. You have no idea.
I will do backflips, and I will watch you.
And you would watch me from a distance, right, in a safe position.
I'll imagine you in my mind.
Exactly. So welcome to the Intune Show, and thank you so much for taking the time to tune in with us tonight so that our listeners can gain more insight on you.
Yes.
So thank you. So, Lou, tell us, you know, I know you guys been doing this for over 27 years, singing, writing, producing, acting. I mean, it's so much that I've learned from just being able to have you on the show that I'm just like, wow, really? Your resume is crazy, Lou.
Yeah, I know. I mean, thank you. I mean, did you ever watch our we had a show like about a month ago on TV1 called Unsung, you know, documentary. Did you ever get to see that?
No, I didn't get to see that, but I'm writing down the name right now because I will be tuning into that. You want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, on TV1, which is a urban network, January 30th or February 1st, one of those, they do this show called Unsung, which a lot of people might be familiar with. They should be familiar with, a lot of urban folks. And they do many people such as George, you know, a lot of legends like George Clinton and the Parliaments, Funkadelic and Bootsy Collins and Tina Marie, may she rest in peace. And they do, like, documentaries of these folk, you know, and, you know, some is filled with their history, certain life challenges as well, you know what I mean? And
yeah.
They did one on Full Force. And I got to tell you, we were very because they did a great job. They did great editing. I mean, at first we thought we kept saying, hey, listen, you know, we did a lot of things. You might want to do a part one and part two. But they
maybe
kept saying,
four.
Yeah, right? You know, a documentary. the auto documentary. No, but they said, no, we got it. Don't worry about it. And they did a great, great job. In fact, when we finished offline, you're going to give me your email address
so I can actually
send you the link of it and you go watch it without no commercials. I mean, we're so proud of it because what happened is that on that show, people got to learn of things that they didn't even know we did, you know what I mean? Because we've done so many things and not bragging or anything like that, but I was even amazed. I'm like, man, we did a lot of stuff. Because even you had people like my good friend of ours, Big Daddy Kane, he calls me and he goes, yo, Lou, man, I didn't know you guys wrote Thanks for My Child for Cheryl Pepsi Riley. You know, and then, you know, I have people in the business. I didn't know you guys wrote for Britney Spears and the Backstreet Boys and sung with Bob Dylan. And, you know, it's a lot of things. And then you got the younger people that knows Full Force mostly for House Party and didn't have no idea that we even sang or produced or performed. And even with the song Ain't My Type of Hype being like the main song in House Party, you know, a lot of the young folk didn't even know Full Force did that. They, wait a minute, y'all did it, Ain't My Type of Hype. So when they saw that documentary, which we're so proud about, they learned a lot about Full Force, you know. So, you know, we're proud
definitely.
Of that.
Definitely. And, you know, shout out to them for doing such a, you know, great job on it. And I'm excited to see it. So, Lou, I wanted to start off with this, okay? Many can remember, like you said, Full Force for, you know, House Party and things of that nature. But what about the amplifiers?
Oh, damn. Oh, so you must have our box. You must have our box.
You know, you were the amplifiers, and from there, you performed at the Apollo Theater. So my question is, who came up with the original name and then the amplifier, why was the name changed later to Full Force?
Well, amplifiers, we were very young. And, in fact, on Unsung, it shows us when we were young and as the amplifiers, even though they never mentioned the name. I said, don't mention it. They never said the amplifiers. That's why you caught me off guard. But, yeah, our name was the amplifiers back then. And We were three guys, me and my two beloved brothers, Paul Anthony and B-Fine, which are my blood brothers, were the same characters in House Party. A lot of times people don't even know that we're real brothers, but we are. And we started out as the Amplifiers, singing for money when we were young, and we used to perform at the Apollo Theater also on the amateur show. You know, way before Showtime at the Apollo even came out, the Apollo Theater used to have amateur hour like every Wednesday. And, you know, for all the amateurs, and you know, if you went four times in a row, then you got to appear on the professional show, like with Stevie Wonder or the Jackson 5 at the time or Marvin Gaye, whatever. So we won four times in a row as the Amplifiers. And appeared at the Apollo, and we did the doggone thing. And then after that, our cousin joined us, which was Baby Jerry, Shy Shy, and Kurt. And they, and then we just got together, and we call ourselves Full Force. I came up with the name, and that's because the reason why I came up with that name is because of how we, our shows, like, was always very strong. And spectacular, even before we had our record deal. You know, we always, even back in the day, we always would show our physical fitness because we're into that, and we're still into that, you know, working out and being very proud of our bodies and eating right and exercising. So we always push that. So even when in our earlier pictures, when we used to wear Jerry curls, you know, we used to just show off. We used to just show off our bodies. So this is like way before LL Cool J and 50 Cent and all of them, you know, Full Force has been doing it way before them. You know, we were actually the first R&B act, I think, to, like, expose that and show that, you know, especially, and it was definitely spearheaded by my brother Paul Anthony, who's always into the physical fitness thing from when we were little. And then he just turned it on to us, and we just took it from there, and we're still proud doing it. Yeah,
so definitely.
That's how we came Full Force. Our shows back in the day was crazy, and it was very powerful, you know, as far as musicians and as far as showmanship, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Absolutely. So Roxanne was a huge hit for UTFO and for Full Force,
right.
May I add. Where were you when you first heard Roxanne on the radio? Do you remember exactly the moment in time?
Oh man, I think we was in the studio actually when we first heard Roxanne, and we were so excited. I mean, it was crazy, but we didn't know thing about Roxanne. We just didn't know it was going to be as big a hit that it turned out to be, you know, because that was supposed to be like an A side. That was supposed to be a B side song actually, you know. Supposed to be like a B-side song, and you know, because we thought the A-side song was a song called Hanging Out for UTFO that we produced, that Full Force produced. But then a DJ in New York City, he started playing the B-side, which was Roxanne. It was almost like, you know, the B-sides back in the day was almost like throwaway records, you know, because you had your A-side and then you would have your B-side, and the B-side was basically like, oh, yeah, it's just a B-side. And my brother B-Fine came up with that idea to do Roxanne, and he told UTFO, you know, let's call it Roxanne, but you guys, nobody gets the girl or anything like that. And the rest is history. DJ Red Alert, the legendary Red Alert, he was the one that kept playing that song. He kept playing Roxanne, and we was upset with him. We're like, what are you playing that record for? That's the B-side. Are you playing the B-side? And he's like, well, I love the B-side. I said, no, but that's not the B-side. That's not the A-side. You got to play the A-side. He's like, well, I like the B-side. Whatever it is, he played Roxanne, and the rest is history. It became so much of history that Roxanne Shante came out with Roxanne's Revenge after that, and It was ridiculous. It was just ridiculous. After Roxanne's Revenge came out, you know, Roxanne's Mother, Roxanne's Grandmother, Roxanne the Dance, Roxanne this, Roxanne that. It was ridiculous. It was totally ridiculous. But the rest was history, and it became a big smash, and so we're excited about that.
Exactly. So how did you feel about being number second to Michael Jackson's Thriller on the charts? because it was like Michael Jackson and then Roxanne.
Mhm.
So,
well, we felt great. Well, what happened was that it wasn't Thriller, but it was we had an album by UTXO called Lethal, and it was number 2 on the R&B charts on the Billboard charts, and the only thing stopping it was Michael Jackson's Bad, the song, his album Bad, which was a huge album, which was, you know, bigger right after Thriller. So we felt great, man. We're looking at it and like, man, can you believe it? And we're like right behind Michael Jackson. Man, we were happy and a little pissed off at the same time, you know. Like, man, he's stopping us. But it's all good.
Right, exactly. It's all good because you know what? Not a lot of people can even say they came second and stuff, you know? Sometimes they're all the way at the bottom.
Michael Jackson. And then when you say, yeah, we came in second, well, who's first? Michael Jackson. Oh, okay, I can understand that, you know.
Definitely. So I wonder if I Take You Home, sung by the beautiful and talented Lisa. And for those that don't know, the first Latino of hip hop. And you guys wrote that for her. Mm-hmm. Did you hear me?
Yes,
did you anticipate? That's okay. Did you anticipate that I Wonder If I Take You Home would be so big and well received by all walks of life? Did you guys even fathom?
Well, we knew we had something. You know, we knew we had a catchy song, and we just didn't know. We didn't know we were going to be as huge as it was. It was crazy. And we was, at the time when that song was recorded, it was on a compilation album, actually, with a whole bunch of other songs. And we was in England at the time. And we was in England working with Samantha Fox, another person that we produced that did a lot of songs, and she's from England. And we were in England working with her, and we had no idea what, the Lisa record was doing in the United States until we came back from England, and we went to this club called Bentley's, which is a big club in Manhattan back in the day.
Mm-hmm, and I remember.
You remember? Well, see, that's
yeah.
before my time, so that's before my time. You're old. So, man, they put that song on, and they were going crazy. And as it's on, I'm looking at the DJ. I'm like, yo, where'd y'all get this? Because we had no idea. We just knew it was on a compilation album. It went overseas first, and that's it. We didn't know that it was coming to the United States and it was going to blow up. And the DJ, are you kidding? This is blowing up. And it was blowing up that week when they first started playing it, because nobody's ever heard a song like that. Because you got to remember, I Wonder If I Take You Home was actually one of the first dance, R&B, pop, hip-hop records combined ever, you know, because we combined everything with that. We threw the kitchen sink with that, with Lisa. And it became so huge that we was forced to hurry up and do an album, because we didn't even have an album deal at the time for Lisa. We just had a single. We just put the single, and the record company started pushing us. Hurry up, you got to do an album now. Come on. I mean, the album cover was ready before the record was ready. So, you know, it was phenomenal. And to come behind after Roxanne with UTFO, and then to come behind with that, man, that's just crazy. And we were writing and producing. You know, once again, I never wanted to write and produce for other people, because I never heard of a group producing or writing for anybody. I just never heard of that, and I didn't care to do it. But our co-manager at the time, Steve Salem, may he rest in peace, he was the one that said, hey, listen, you know, you guys are getting your tapes returned and everything like that. I think if you guys write and produce for other people, it could become very successful, and then you guys will get the attention because of it. And that's exactly what happened, you know. So thank God for that.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely, because like I said, you know, there's so many people in the chat room, too, that was like, oh, they didn't know this, they didn't know that. I mean, this is why this is such an amazing experience for me, because, you know, I get to get in tune with you, period, point blank, and all the amazing things that you guys have done is just crazy. So you collaborated with The Godfather, Soul, the late and the still great James Brown, that, you know, had to be the ultimate validation of your talents and your hard work, in my opinion. Did The Godfather of Soul offer any kinds of words of wisdom to you guys?
Well, The Godfather of Soul was always offering us all kinds of words of wisdom and different anecdotes and a lot of different things. I mean, first of all, when we got the call to do Mr. Brown, we were like blown away and excited at the same time, because at that time that we worked with James Brown, that was the time when all the rappers were sampling James Brown, you know, sampling James Brown and all their records and all of that stuff without Mr. Brown getting any money for it at the time. That was the height of it. And once we got with him, you know, we came out with the first single, which was called I'm Real, which talks about, you know, he opens up the record by saying, all you copycats out there, get off of my trip, because I'm James Brown with the force, ain't taking no lip. So that song, so he did that, and that song went all the way up to number two. And that was like a comeback album for Mr. Brown. You know, then we came out with the song Static, which is one of my favorite James Brown songs, which is Static. Don't start none, it won't be none, no static. And that went up to number five. I'm Real and Static was Mr. Brown's last top 10 records of his career before he passed away. Last ones, which was written and produced by us. And being in the studio with him was crazy because, you know, nobody puts us in awe at all, you know, nobody. But Mr. Brown, he put us in a little awe because we're like, wow, this is James Brown. We're working with James Brown. So once we were going to work with him, you know, we started hearing rumors about, yeah, he's bad to work with in the studio. He's mean and all of this stuff. So I called somebody that worked with him, which was a guy by the name of Mr. Dan Hartman. Dan Hartman was a producer, and he was also made records in his disco records. He's a white guy. And he's the one that produced Living in America for James Brown, which was a big hit at the time, some years back before we worked with him. And he said, hey, listen, you know, when you work with, I said, Dan, how can we work with James Brown? We hear a lot of stories that he's, but he said, hey, first of all, when you work with him, you better not call him James. You call him Mr. Brown. And we always called him Mr. Brown from the whole, you know, the whole recording session to when we was finished. And working with him was iconic from the day he started dancing in the studio and dancing while singing our songs. And, man, it was crazy. When we knew Reverend Al Sharpton would come in there every now and then because they were really good friends, I'm like, wow, we're actually working with the godfather of soul, James Brown. I can't believe it. We're part of history, you know. So that was crazy. And, you know, still exciting to this day just to think about it.
Absolutely. So all of your hit records are still club bangers. I don't know. Do you even realize that, Lou? Like, Ain't My Type of Hype. You know, just people still play the music. People still are playing it. And how do you feel about that? Like, you know, does it still make you feel good today? I mean, being that you produced it and you guys written it so long ago that today people will throw that on and still get up and jam just as hard. I mean, at my family gatherings, they'll put that ain't no Type of Hype on, and people start doing the Running Man. And I mean, they take it back to the dances too, you know? They get it to full character.
See, they do the Running Man, but Miss P, I hear you be doing the robot and stuff. Is that true? Now, the robot
it's true.
Is older than the Running Man. You'd be doing
I actually be doing, like, the twist and the dog and, you know,
oh,
all that. Like,
man. Oh, that's way, way back there. Way before my time. No, it's still a great thing. You know, you go to a club and they, you know, you hear Ain't My Type of Hype, or you hear I Wonder If I Take You Home by Lisa. Still, people jump on the floor and they remember the songs. You know, Static by James Brown. So, you know, we're just very, you know, very gifted and just very appreciative, you know, and, you know, still be able to make money because, you know, songwriting, it's one thing to be an artist and you do a song, which is great, but when you write that song and, you know, when you write that song and it lives forever and you're still collecting checks because of the songwriting and the publishing, that's a great thing because Full Force is six guys, you know, even three of us did House Party, but, you know, six of us is Full Force, three brothers and three cousins, and we got to split everything six ways. And that's because that's how we made it, you know, All For One and One For All. If one guy writes one song, it still will say written by Full Force. If two guys write it, it'll still say written by Full Force. So, you know, it's just good to hear because I Wonder If I Take You Home, that song has really lived forever because so many people, you know, Black Eyed Peas, we co-wrote Don't Funk With My Heart because they wanted to use I Wonder If I Take You Home hook and chorus. And, you know, oh man, let me, and that's how it is, you know what I mean? But they use the hook and chorus, so basically everything lives forever, you know?
That's so phenomenal.
You know, all the songs. And not only Lisa Lisa, but songs that people would be surprised of that we did, you know? Whenever people wait, hold on for a second. Hold on for a second.
Pretty Lou has us on hold, guys.
Okay. I thought I was getting a ticket, you know what I'm saying? It's crazy.
That happens on my show. You get tickets.
Yeah, because I'm up here doing the, you know, anyway, it's all good. She saw my case. Oh, okay, no problem. So basically we're just blessed, you know. So my thing is that, you know, we're just blessed to still have people dance with our songs, still remembering us. And even like, and you know what? So even though I spoke on the interview of TV One's Unsung, I always would say that I think people would even start to remember the music even more because of House Party, because you'd be surprised, like all the young kids, when they see House Party, then they Google us, and then they start to learn the history of Full Force and get the music, because, man, them guys from House Party did this and did that and did this and did that, because today, I still can't walk the streets or the airports, especially if I'm with my brothers, and people don't ask me to say, I'm going to kick some freaking ass. So that,
exactly.
That's my most famous lyric of any song I ever wrote, that from House Party. It's crazy.
I'm serious because you had to know that I was going to say that because I started the show off with that, to be honest. I don't have it down pat like you do, but, you know, I definitely opened with that. Definitely. So let's talk about some of these people, you know, real briefly, because there's so many people. I mean, we would have to do a part four, okay, with Bow-Legged Lou. So basically, just for all the listeners that do not know, outside of Lisa Lisa and James Brown, Kid and Play, of course, there's Britney Spears, Patti LaBelle, the Backstreet Boys, Rihanna, Curtis Blow. Am I correct?
Yes, you're right so far.
UTFO, mm-hmm. The list, and who else? Come on, Ad, help me out here. Help me out.
Well, we got Justin Timberlake and NSYNC, BB King, Lil' Kim, Nicki Minaj. A lot of people don't know that. And we have also, you know, my girl, because I used to have a crush on her, Jasmine Guy. Jasmine Guy had a top 10 record called Try Me, you know, that we
mm-hmm,
wrote.
I remember.
We wrote and produced that as well. And a lot of people was like, man, y'all did that? I'll never forget when Benny Medina had asked us about, hey, Lou called me up, said, Lou, this thing, you know, Jasmine's going to be doing an album. You guys would like to produce a couple of songs? And I'm like, would we? Are you kidding? And I just said, yes. I didn't even ask the rest of the guys. I didn't even know Jasmine could sing, you know, or had a record or whatever like that. So, you know, working with her was great. And then we're still good friends to this day. You know, no matter, you know, she has her ups and downs, but I still love her. But Latoya
right,
Jackson,
exactly.
which we don't talk about that much. We don't talk about producing Latoya Jackson, but we actually produced four songs on Latoya Jackson. And, whew, Lord, but it was okay. It was cool.
Right. You got through it.
The Fourth MDs, our boys, the Fourth MDs we work with, Houdini, Montel Jordan, Genuine, the late, great Gerald Levert. Najee, I mean, Lisa Morgan, Cheryl Pepsi Riley, of course, you know, we, Thanks for My Child, which was a number one record, and we were very proud of that song as well. We worked with so many people, you know.
It's crazy. Like I said, I mean, I had no idea. That's why this was such a great experience for me, to just gravitate to all of that information. It just makes you guys even, you know, special was to me, like, oh my God, they really did all of this. You know, people in the chat room are bugging out too, like, wow, so many people and what? Oh my goodness, you know, this is why, you know, it's great of you to come on to platforms like this to put the community in tune. So what's happening?
Well, listen, if you Google, I'm sorry, sweetheart, as you mentioned, everybody in the chat room, if you Google us or the people in the chat room Google us and you go Full Force/Nicki Minaj, you'll see that Nicki was with us for like 5 years. We started her out. A lot of people don't know that, but, you know, if you Google that, if you Google the song that Nicki had famous in her mixtapes was a song called The Autobiography of Nicki Minaj. We produced that on her, and we produced a lot of stuff on her, which we still have in the clip, you know, that a lot of people will hear sooner or later. And what happens is that she, you know, honed a lot of her craft. And when we was working with Lil' Kim, on Lil' Kim's album, La Bella Mafia, we produced a song on Kim called You Can't F With Queen B. And we also did a song with 3LW that featured Lil' Kim also on the song. And Nicki used to be with us when we were working with Lil' Kim. She used to be around. She didn't, you know, just like, wow. You know, even when we was working with Rihanna, when Rihanna did her first album, when we worked with Rihanna, Nicki was around. So she was checking out the whole scenario. So the thing about it is we parted ways amicably because at that time, you know, nobody was checking for female rappers like they should. People like Jay-Z and Ty-Tech from Jay-Z, Warner Brothers, even 50 Cent people, they all passed on Nicki because they're like, I don't know. But, you know, we always knew sooner or later. So once we parted ways amicably, because she was first with my son, Lustar, and the name of the group is called the Hood Stars. My son had a group called the Hood Stars, and he put the group together. If you Google Lustar, you'll see him too. I mean, all the girls will love my son.
Your son is cute, and I'm actually looking at him now because I was waiting for you to finish so we can talk about, you know, Lustar.
Oh, word? Okay.
Okay. I'm looking at him right now.
I'm sorry, baby.
No, that's okay. That's okay. I'm enjoying the conversation. He's definitely a cutie patootie, like you said. The ladies will love it. Okay, so
definitely.
Is it Diamond in the Dirt he's working on?
No, Diamond in the Dirt is something. Wait, hold on for a second. Diamond in the Dirt is a group that he's working with now. But that's what he's doing now, right? But when he was with Nicki, it was called the Hood Stars. For some reason, I don't know why Nicki don't mention the name sometimes, but that's okay because we mention it anyway. Because Lustar's friend, one of his best friends, was Scat Beasy, who's Nicki's fiance. I'm pretty sure that's the fiance because during a party, he proposed to her and everything. She took 10 years to say yes. But she did say yes, and he did propose to her, just to let everybody know the deal. And Lou and Scat Beasy is very good friends, and he's the one that introduced him to Nicki to come to my house, and, you know, they always hung out. And Scat Beasy, I'm the one that put him in the rap group with the Hood Stars. When Nicki, Lustar, and even 7-Up, the other group member, really didn't care for his rapping style that much at the time. But, you know, Nicki and him fell in love after the fact, and, you know, the rest is history. But, you know, like I said, we parted ways amicably, and we wish her nothing but good luck because, you know, it was great that Wayne discovered her, and actually by accident, because Wayne's with us. 2 years later, she was still grinding, and I think they did a, she was on a compilation, a DVD compilation that Lil Wayne was hosting. And what was smart about it, they put, like, two different videos of Nicki. They put one before Lil Wayne and one after Lil Wayne. So if Lil Wayne was able to see it, you know, he would definitely check Nicki, and that's exactly what happened, you know. So,
right.
I'm happy for her. She's all good.
Yeah, definitely, definitely. So if you don't mind me, you know, bringing this up, I wanted to bring up Paul Anthony and his foundation.
Okay.
Can you tell us a little bit about...
Why would I mind you bringing that up?
Oh, well, you know, I just don't like to touch on nothing sensitive with people. So, you know, it's just because I want people to kind of gauge with, you know, the foundation and things of that nature. So,
I understand. I'm just messing with you, sweetie. I'm making you squirm a little. No,
you are, actually. You are. I'm hugging myself. I'm like, please, Lou, please.
I wish I could see you doing backflips and squirming, both of those, in my mind.
I'm going to have to put that on my Facebook page so you can look at that because, you know, I did a crazy pants dance for LaVerge, too.
Oh, what?
Yeah, they sent me my CD finally signed, and I told him, oh, I'm going to do the crazy pants dance. And he's like, do it, do it. So he's tweeting me, do it now, do it now. So I just got up and did it and put it on Facebook today.
Wow.
Not my best performance ever, but, you know, I try to stay true to my word, so I put that up there. I did. I played myself.
I got to check it. You got to let me know your Facebook thing so I can check you.
Yeah, I'm going to send you all my stuff, all my information to Miss Curry. And then that way she can forward it to you.
No, just send it to me after we finish the interview. Just
okay.
Send it to me, okay?
No problem.
I'll just hold on for you.
Not a problem.
But so here's the deal. Here's the deal about my brother, Paul Anthony. The thing about it is I'm not sensitive because my brother Paul is such a lion, you know. He's such an inspirational person. And, you know, we can't even call him, I don't even say he's struggling with cancer or battling with cancer. He's never felt like he's ever been in a battle at all, you know. So he's actually a cancer champion, my brother Paul Anthony. And he was diagnosed in 2006. With a rare form of cancer called mantle cell lymphoma. And you know, they say it's no cure and everything like that. In fact, one doctor, when he was diagnosed, said he could only live like maybe 2 years, but he's still going strong. You know, it's like if you see my brother, if you see him, you wouldn't even think anything's wrong with him. That's the thing about it. And I'm telling you, it's his courage and it's his bravery and it's his spirit. And plus, he's surrounded by great family and supporters that keeps him going, you know? I mean, when you see The Unsung that I told you about, the documentary, he talks about his journey there, you know? He talks about it so strong, and so many people was inspired by it. I mean, you know, because of that Unsung, it became, because we promoted it heavily, even ourselves. We didn't wait for the TV station to do it. We promoted it heavily ourselves, and it became the number one documentary in TV1 history right now, our segment of Unsung. And Paul, he talks about his health journey because, we just got the Paul Anthony Foundation, which we would definitely appreciate so much support. That's something new. And we're just going to keep on doing it. We want to keep on doing it. I mean, when Paul was diagnosed, you know, he didn't even cry, he didn't scream or nothing like that. He just went on to his BlackBerry, wanted to look up the meaning of the lymphoma disease. And he said, hey, man, that's okay. We're going to get to crack it because I can still write a lot of songs in whatever years. And he always feels he's going to live forever, and he is going to live forever, you know, through his music, through his children, through any interviews. And that's just how it's going to be. You know, that's just how it's going to be, you know.
Absolutely. Yeah. So how can fans contact, you know, or stay in touch with Full Force or Paul Anthony's foundation?
Well, you can actually go to our website, which is fullforceworld.com, and all the information is there on my brother and Full Force and everything. And you can send questions or whatever you want to do, and you can send it there. And on Facebook, you know, we're also on Facebook. It's Full Force. There's a bunch of different Full Force songs, but there's one I think that just got like 7,000 or 8,000. Members on it, the new one. So that's the one that you guys would want to go on to. Then you got Twitter. We're on Twitter, which is Full Force NYC on Twitter. You can follow us. And you can follow my brother Paul Anthony on Facebook too. Paul Anthony on Facebook. And you follow myself, Bowlegged Lou, on Facebook. You can send me questions. I got like so many friends already and too many friend requests. But you can, if you send me a message, like in my interest, and you know, you could even say that, you know, I was checking you, you know, on the Intune show, and if you mention that, then you'll get my immediate attention. Check that out.
Aww.
And
you are so
Well, it's true, you know, because you're a sweetheart too, and I love your vibe. But you could always send me messages in there and ask me any questions or anything like that, and it'll be all good. You know, yeah.
Well, that is so awesome of you to extend that to our listeners. I know they're, like, jumping for joy. They had some questions. Is that okay? Because I know I talked your head off already. All right. So Phoenix wanted to know, she noticed that you work with so many amazing people, but she said, is there one that stood out the most?
Yeah. One that stood out the most, I would say James Brown, you know. Definitely James Brown. You know, I mean, James Brown, legendary James Brown. We work with so many people. I mean, and, you know, we also work with Patti LaBelle in the studio as well. In fact, Patti LaBelle, she forced us to work with her. And what I mean by that is that at the time, we were so busy with other people working with them when Patti LaBelle's people told us, you know, yeah, we want you guys to work with Patti LaBelle. Can you please, you know, write and produce for her? We said, nah, we're too busy right now, but tell Patti we love her. And, you know, Patti lives in Philadelphia. We're in New York at the time. So we're in the studio working at three different studios, three different rooms at the same time. We're working on one floor with Samantha Fox. We're working on another floor with Cheryl Pepsi Riley. And we're working on another floor with UTFO, right? So all that's happening, and we're on one floor. So then all of a sudden, who walks in the studio but Patti LaBelle and one of the representatives from MCA Records, which she was signed to at the time? They just walk in on our session, unannounced. And there we are. And we stopped because we, no matter what, even though we didn't have time to work, but we love Patti LaBelle. You kidding? We still loved her, but we just said we just didn't have time. But we stopped the music, we stopped the playback, and Patti says, "Hey, listen, Full Force, I'm not going to take up any of your time. I just heard that you guys was too busy to work with Miss Patti. I just want y'all to know that y'all are going to work with me. I came all the way down here from Philadelphia, and I'm saying, you know what, Full Force, y'all going to make some time to squeeze Miss Patti in, okay? Have a nice day." And she left. And we stayed there so dumbfounded, like little sheep, and we ended up, you know, working on Patti LaBelle's album, which was a big treat for us because we love Patti LaBelle, so it was great. But
yeah,
I would like to say, I'm messing up your question. I'm sorry, Miss P.
No. I want you to finish the story. I'm over here smiling like, you know, like you're sitting across from me. This is how I feel right now. Like we're having a cup of coffee and catching up. This is what we're doing.
You said a cup of Bacardi. What'd you say?
I said we're having a cup of coffee, not Bacardi,
oh,
Lou.
Oh, coffee. Oh, my bad.
Oh my God, I had a cup of Bacardi. You be talking by yourself. Because I'll be knocked out.
Man, Bacardi and a little coffee, that's not bad sometimes. Just a little bit. Anyway,
I'm lightweight.
Yeah, but James Brown, I would say, would definitely be like the biggest one for us, for sure.
Absolutely. We have a caller on the line, 262. You're on the line with Miss P and Bowlegged Lou.
Hi.
Caller?
My name is. Yeah, I'm here.
Yay.
How you doing?
Good in yourself.
Good,
introduce
sweetheart.
Yourself.
Say that again?
Introduce yourself.
Oh, yo, my name is Damaris. I'm the new voice of Hip Hop Soul Phipps. And, you know what I'm saying, I'm just calling in tuned as always with my girl, Miss P, a.k.a. my boss lady. How you doing, lady? How y'all doing, Full Force?
How you doing? Yay. You're on the air with Bowlegged Lou.
Oh my God, I'm feeling like Miss P. I'm gonna squirm in my chair right now. Oh my God. I have to exhale and breathe. Like I am such a huge fan. Oh my God, I'm gonna kick your ass. Please say it for me one time. Just say it for me one time.
You could curse on this show, Miss P.
It's okay. It's you, Lou, so you can go ahead. You can do it.
Oh, man. Please forgive me, but just act like
please
you're
do it. Can you please do it for me?
Okay,
just
I'm going to do it for you right now, baby. Okay, here we go. I'm going to kick some fucking ass.
I really had to call in and have you say that for me because when she said you guys, oh, my God, like, I am such a fan. Like, I'm a, like, late 80s baby, but I really caught you guys at the beginning of your career when you guys did House Party, and I really started following you from then on out. So, man, you guys, thanks for opening doors, and thank you for everything that you have done for up-and-coming artists such as myself.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Did you ever get to see us on Unsung?
TV One?
Huh?
You never got to see our documentary on
TV One? No, I actually did it. I actually did it. Today was my first time actually hearing about it on the show with you and Miss Pete. But I'm doing the same thing she's doing. I'm writing everything down, and I'm also learning a few things. I didn't know you guys were basically some of the first ones to discover Nicki Minaj.
Oh, yeah, yeah, definitely, without a doubt. You can check that out. You can Google it. You'll see.
Yes. And that, I've already did it. I've already listened to the autobiography. Yeah, it shows. It really shows.
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
You got to give credit where credit is due.
Absolutely.
Exactly.
Absolutely. So is there anything else you want to say to Bow-Legged Lou?
I just wanted to say I love you guys. Keep on ticking, and I hope your brother Paul gets well. I'm a big fan of you guys. I just love you guys, and please keep on making that great music that inspires me.
Aww.
Thank you so much, sweetheart. Appreciate it.
Yes.
Thank you.
All right, boss,
love you. Yeah, so that was really sweet and exciting. You see what you still do to people?
Yeah, man, she called you boss lady. Check you out. You a boss lady, boss lady.
Stop making me blush over here, okay? Cut it out. Stop immediately without hesitation. Just cut it out. Definitely. So is there any words that you want to leave to any inspiring upcoming artists that are out here trying to figure it all out?
Well, the music business is such a different animal these days, but, you know, we used to say that back in the day. You know, it took us a while to really become successful the way we wanted to because it was hard. It was really hard, but we persevered. We never gave up, and we used to hear people out there writing, producing, singing, performing, and we used to always say that, man, we're better than them. But it was hard to get in. But, you know, when you pray and you believe in yourself, we always knew we were going to succeed because we used to replay our videos in the back. Oh, man, when we do a video, we're going to do it like this. We always knew we were going to succeed. We just didn't know when because we were never going to give up. And that's what I'm going to tell everybody out there because I know there's a lot of talent out there, not just in music, but in anything. I mean, you could be anything, from a doctor to a lawyer to, you know, striptease artist. It's all good, you know. The thing about it is that you must always stay positive. And even in the music business, you got a lot of people that's maybe not in New York or not Los Angeles or Miami. They're from a small town. They'll always say, yeah, we ain't going to make it because, you know, we're from North Carolina or we're from, you know, such a small place. Let me tell you something. You can make it from anywhere because I'll give you an example. You know, we once had, you know, because we still listen to tapes and CDs and demos still to this day. And we're still in the studio grinding still to this day. We're still producing and doing our stuff because we're working with a new artist and we just got signed. Her name is Crystal Clear. She's a 17-year-old Latina artist, and she's hot. She sings, dance, and, you know, we just did a duet with her and Torian, which Torian just signed to Lil Wayne, and we did a duet doing Lil Wayne's song with her and him. It's on YouTube and everything. You can check it. Torian with Crystal Clear, and she's going to blow up. And my son, Lou Star, he's still doing his thing. In order to make it in this business, you must never give up. If you do tracks, you sing, you send in your demos. And I'm going to give you guys an address where you can send your stuff to us as well. But we had this young guy. His name is D. Emile, capital D, dot E-M-I-L-E. First name is Durst, really, Durst Emile. And he sent us this track, man. He was sending millions of tracks, and he just never gave up. And he was so religious in doing it, you know. So he sent us this one track, and we loved the track so much. Young guy, upcoming, new, and we love the track so much that we told him, okay, we're going to grab this track, and you're going to be a co-producer with it, with us, and we're just going to write lyrics to this track, and that's what we did. We wrote lyrics called That La La La. That's the name of it, That La La La. And it ends up being on Rihanna's first album, her debut million-selling album, with Upon the Replay. And if you listen to that, La La La, it's like one of the hardest songs that she would ever do. Right now there's a lot of pop stuff, which is great. But you listen to that La La La, which is hardcore, and Rihanna's on that joint, you'll see. But D. Emil, he's the one that sent us the track, and we produced it on Rihanna. And on the album it says produced by Full Force and D. Emil. And sometimes, everybody, sometimes it only takes one opportunity to really start doing your own thing. Because of that one opportunity with Rihanna that we gave him, he was able to go ahead and produce songs for Janet Jackson, for Mary J. Blige, and, you know, he's still doing it. So sometimes all it takes is one to get in that door, and you just never give up. You know, never give up. You got to stay positive. And you know, if anybody wants to ever send us anything, you can email it to us at, let me see. You can send it to actually our website, you know, because we have our email addresses there. Or you can send it, you can mail it out to P.O. Box 284, Forceful Enterprises, P.O. Box 284, Brooklyn, New York, 11203. Okay?
You are so amazing. Like, if I was in your presence right now, I would be hugging you uncontrollably till you had to call 911 to get me off of you. Do you understand that, Lou? You would need a restraining order against me. Okay? Seriously. Because, you know, it's just a good feeling to know that there are still amazing people like yourself that is humble and grounded and just definitely, because you didn't have to extend what you just extend to our listeners. And I have so many talented people that tune into the show. So be prepared for the mass emails. I mean, it's going to be crazy, Lou. You gave it up. Don't come hitting me up Lou. Later to my Miss P in a damn Intune show. You know, yeah, don't do that, Lou.
I would never do that.
Definitely. So, Luda, I'm just going to, you know, not take up no more of your time. I really, really appreciate it. And there are no words to say how much, you know, I love you. I do. We all
love
do.
Love you too, sweetheart.
Thank
love
you so much
too,
for
man.
Everything.
Appreciate y'all too, okay? Thanks for the vibe, Miss P. All right? And you stay blessed with your show. How long you had the show?
I've been doing it, like, hard body for like a year, and you know, everyone that I'm getting in tune with now is definitely has been a blessing to the show, including yourself now. So I've been after you, Lou, just to let you know, for 2 whole months until I got you. You know, I kind of don't want to let you go and run up your phone bill or just, you know, talk to you till your battery die, you know, because that's how long I waited to talk to you.
See, now that's the difference. Now, Steve, a bunch of people call me and send in music and stuff like that. I'll never go, oh, damn, Miss P. No, I'll be happy to get that. But now, if you make my battery die, I'm going to be like, just damn Miss P.
Right, exactly. Then you're really going to be pissed. But before I let you
right.
go really quick, we had a question in the chat room. How does someone, you know, spread the cause for the foundation? Can they find all that information on the website as well?
Yeah. You can find all that out on the website for sure. And you know, any extra mm-hmm. questions that you guys want to ask or anything, you hit me up in my inbox on Facebook, and it's right on the Bowlegged Lou. Go right into my inbox, hit me up, and it'll be all good. And if you want to be my friend, then what I'd have to
he'll think about that.
What happened? What?
I said he'll think about that. He'll think about whether he wants to add any more people, but. The main part is not so much of the ad. It's just so much of the, you know, the extension of the help that you're offering to people. So you don't, I don't think it's so much about, hey, add me as a friend, you know, because you have a billion friends, okay? I think the bigger picture is just the fact that, hey, hit me in my inbox and then we'll take it from there.
Yeah, hit me in my inbox.
I'm trying to lighten the load. I'm trying to lighten the load, Lou.
Hey, man, what would I do without Boss Lady? Now, come on now.
Stop it already, okay? You're making me blush. All right, then, Lou. Thank you so much for everything. Big hugs and kisses to you. And I'm actually about to reach out to you, too, on Facebook. But you can add me as a friend. No, I'm just kidding. Just respond to my message.
No, but you know what I got to do? Listen, and anybody can do. You never know, because the thing about it is I would have to actually request you to be my friend because I got so many friend requests. And I would do that, you know, so it's no problem. Because I'm not over the friend limit. Just a friend request is crazy because I don't accept, like, the world. You know what I mean?
You can't.
Right.
You can't because that puts me in a jealous mode, and you can't do that.
Oh, Miss P, I'm going to kick your freaking ass. But we're gonna stay in contact. I think I got your cell phone here. I think.
I hope you do because I you know
start,
I sent that
does
over.
Does it start with a 3?
Yeah, 347. Mhm.
Okay, so I got it. Mhm.
Yay! Right. I'm excited. Yeah, we're family right. now, so you're stuck with me. You're stuck with me.
It's all
I just want you to know that. I mean, I'm not a stalker and I'm not crazy, but you definitely stuck with me.
It's all good, baby. No problem. Okay.
Thank you, Lou.
Have a beautiful and blessed day. And to all the InTune listeners out there, and, you know, y'all stay strong and stay positive, and may all the positive and optimistic things in life forever be yours.
Oh, thank you so much.
All right, baby. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye. Yay, guys. So that was Lou. Oh, my God. Isn't he just awesome? Oh, my God. Really, only on an InTune show would you get that type of love. And I think that love is just basically coming in because we all show love. So everyone who tunes into the show is definitely, you know, supporters and definitely people that are for each other versus people that's just about themselves. So I'm blessed to have all you guys in tune tonight to get in tune with Lou. Oh, my God. And the whole extension of, like, hey, hit me up. I mean, how many times will you ever hear that from someone on his level? Ready, willing, and able to take you in, just like that. So, you know, and I just want some people to understand also that just because he extend that to you guys, please, by all means, utilize that platform. But, you know, don't expect anything. Just send it in with the respects of, hey, just listen to this, but don't expect, because, you know, expectations is what kills us in the end. You know, just do what you have to do and then wait for it. Okay? Just wait for it. Don't drive him crazy and make him hate the InTune show. So anyway, guys, I just want to thank you all for tuning in. And if it's your first time, please don't let it be your last time tuning in with your girl, Miss P. Thursday, I'm going to be on at 10 p.m. with Dr. Sue, and we're going to be chatting it up about all the relationship drama. So make sure you guys stay in tune with that. Anybody that stays in tune with the show definitely knows that I have to leave the show on a track, okay? So let's see. This one is going to be dedicated once again to Ms. Donna Summers, you know, and I hope you guys enjoy how, you know, I told Lou that he, you know, I'm not a stalker. Because, you know, Lou doesn't really know that I really am a stalker, and I will stalk him, okay? I will be outside his door. But anyway, without further ado, you guys have a good night. Thank you for staying in tune, and this is The Last Dance by Donna Summers. Thank you.
in the morning. Let's go. I'm in tune. I'm in tune. I'm in tune.